Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Welcome to church, everyone. I'm going to bring the message today. It's a really big privilege to do that, to speak with all of you. You know, I have people who are my friends and family here and mentors. So it's just a tremendous blessing to be able to bring the word, and let's just pray. Lord, I just pray that you're the center today, and that this message penetrates in whichever heart it needs to penetrate. Lord, we just we go after you today, all your glory, Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. So we're carrying on the Dug Down Deep series. We've been going through Dug Down Deep for 4 weeks now, 4 or 5 weeks. It's been really great. I've been really getting a lot out of it. We're talking about digging down deep with God, you know, deepening our intimacy with God. And it's just been such a tremendous series. And we're going to carry on with that today. And where we're just going to start is Luke 15, 1 to 7. It's one of my favorite parts of the whole Bible, the parable of the lost sheep. I'm sure most of you people will be familiar with the parable of the lost sheep. If you're not, I'm just going to quickly go through it. It's just beautiful to listen to. Does everyone want to read along with me? Let's do it together. All right, cool. Let's have a bit of energy about it. Like, you know, when we normally read along, and I'm sitting there back there myself, and I hear, na, 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 na. All right, let's have some energy because it's raining. So let's get it going. All right. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he lays... Rejoicing, you're still with me. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. That is an amazing story, right? I love it. I love so many things. When, you know, we talked about earlier on in the series about meditating on God's word and like really chewing on it. And when I chew on this, I'm like, oh, went after his 99. He went after the one. And he found the one. How many, like, I mean, I got a great dog. Who's met my dog, Mira? She's so wonderful, right? She gets out of the fence. I go after her and I find her. And I find her. And then she's like all cautious when she sees me. And I'm like, I want her to come back to me. So I bait her back to me. Come on, come on. I'm really angry at her because she's left. But I'm like, come on, come on, come on. And she's cautious. And then she comes to me and I scold her as soon as she gets there, right? How many of you guys have done that? Nah, it must be just me. Okay, that's cool. But I scold her and I'm like, ah. But God's not like that. God's not like that. He's not ready for you to, he's not waiting for you to turn around, do a 180, and then he's not ready to go, bam, right? Jesus is saying, "I gladly put you on my shoulder and I carry you home." And then when he gets there, this is the kicker. He gets there and then he's joyous about it. I love that. He tells everyone about it. I get home and I complain to Adele. Oh, Amira got out again. Right? But no, God's not like that. So it's such a beautiful message. Such a beautiful message. And that's because he's a good father. He leaves the 99 to go after the one. So I'm going to ask you this question. Have you ever thought about leaving your 99 to go after the one? This is a little bit of a play on words. So I started this, called this message, "Leave your 99 excuses at the door and dig down deep with God." So, I'm not coming at you from an angle of accusation here. What I'm going to come at you with here is I'm going to share some of scenarios that I've walked through where I've left my 99 to go after God. Let's do it, right? Who's ready? Okay, great. Okay, Leave your 99. Scenario number one is, I, me, mine. And I'm not talking about that. Anyone know that Beatles song? I, me, me, mine. Yes, I went there in Sunday service, but we'll leave it there. Okay. We need to put others first because Jesus did. You know, I, me, mine, it's all about me. What can I get out of it? What is it? What's the benefit for me? Well, you know, like, that's such a foolish way to live life, huh? It's all about me. It's all about me. Nah, not when we look at Scripture and we look at Jesus and he tells us the opposite, to put others first. In fact, when he was asked what were the greatest of the two commandments, he said, love God first and then love your neighbor. It wasn't love God first, get right with yourself, get everything sorted, make sure your TV's in order and then go after your neighbor. No, it's actually your neighbor first. So it's about putting someone else first. It's an interesting concept. It's a concept that it actually doesn't happen very often. We actually, if we examine ourselves, we probably don't do it too often ourselves. But that's okay. That's why we need Jesus. Because we're not perfect. Let's have a look at the scripture. I love this. I really spent probably the best part of a month chewing on this bit of scripture here. This is Philippians 2, and Paul's writing, and he's talking about the character of Christ. So let's just go through that together. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude as Christ Jesus had. This is pretty intense coming up here, guys. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. That's crazy, hey. I've spent some time thinking about this, guys, and you know, like if you're playing, even if you're like, think about a video game, you get the cheat codes, God mode, and you just go for it, you know, like, or, and what, I'll tie that together in a sec, but, or have you been at like work and stuff like that before, and you've been like, oh, if only I was the boss, and then things would be my way, you know, and then when I'm boss, I'll do it this way, I'll do it that way, and everything like that, like, and ask you this question. If you were the boss, would you start to exclude yourself from certain rules or something like that? Would you flout the rules? You know what I mean? Like, would you get away with it? Would you turn up 15 minutes late because, oh, I'm the boss, it's cool? Or would you not iron your shirt for work because I'm the boss? Who's going to tell me what to do? Right? Like, all these little things. Like, and Jesus had, being perfectly man and perfectly God, he had the ability to do whatever. And he humbled himself. He put others first. It's amazing. Have a look at this next scripture. Again, I spent a good time chewing on this one. This is pretty intense as well. Again, Paul writing, this time to the church in Corinth. This is his first letter. I just love his character. He must have been so spirited, Paul, hey? Like, and I feel his spiritedness coming out in this part of this letter here, when he says, when you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. So what he's about to start talking about is people in the early church putting themselves first. So let's dig in again. For some of you, hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. Now, we're not getting drunk at our EN little get-togethers, but who knows, we get together and we eat a lot of food together. Man, I'm still full from the weekend of eating food together. But these guys, they're getting together. You know, they're getting together and they're so hungry and they're eating before everyone else gets a chance at this. And then Paul, I love this. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself on the night when he was betrayed. And Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, you guys know what I'm talking about here, right? We're talking about a communion here, right? We have communion in here as well. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Check this next line out. This one. "So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why some of you are weak and sick and some have died." That's intense, man. That is intense. So this church, this early church, they're getting together just for a meal, right? They're getting together, Lord's Supper, and some of them are like, "Oh, how many of you guys have turned up to our meetings?" And I'm like, you know, I see that bucket of KFC and I'm like, "Oh man, I'm so hungry." And I go in for the rib piece first because I want the rib piece because no one loves the rib piece like me, right? And you're putting yourself first and it's like, me first, and like all these little micro decisions of me first, me first, me first, me first, right? And this is happening in the early church and Paul's writing and say, "I'm not going to praise you for this, man. I'm not going to praise you for this." And now actually what he said, he's saying that you are, but by misrepresenting yourself in this, by having this attitude, by disrespecting the Lord God, you're eating and drink every mouthful, every sip, you're eating and drinking the wrath of heaven on yourself. Can you believe it? And people were dying. They were dying. And I found that interesting as well, because in their selfishness, it showed me in their selfishness something that they were participating in physically for their spirit was having a physical manifestation from their sin, from their sinful behavior, from them not honoring God and in putting your neighbor first. There was actually a physical repercussion happening. They were getting sick. They were dying. Man, it's a bit heavy, hey? It's just a bit heavy. All from, they're putting themselves first. I'm guilty of this too. I wake up in the morning and I want a cup of tea. I make my cup of tea first instead of making Adele a cup of coffee. This is me putting myself first. Micro decisions of putting myself first. But God called me to put others first. Thank goodness for grace. So amazing. So I ask you, scenario number one here, guys. I, me, mine. Not the Beatles song, but the real deal thing here. Are we putting others first, especially in this season? The season that we're celebrating Christ. Everyone's talking about Jesus. They say it whether they want to or not. Christmas. Christ. It's Christmas. And especially in this season, are we putting others first? Let's be the example. The body. We are the body. Let's be the example for our community. Right? Cool. We dig down deep with God when we put others first. Is that, you guys feel me on this? Right. Scenario number two is, I just don't have time. I don't have time. I work the 40 hours a week. I don't have time. I got no time, right? Ah, man, I'm so funny with this one. I get so involved in what I'm doing. I don't have time to eat. I don't have time to talk. I don't have time for nothing. My love language is, my least is quality time. I got no time for quality time. Adele's love language, her highest is quality time. I got to make time for quality time, right? Cool. Grace of God. Whew. So who's running around like this guy? I'm late, I'm late, I'm late, I'm late, right? Alice in Wonderland? Yeah? We on the same page? Right. But these guys, Siossi. Yeah, where are you, bro? Over there, Raywin. Hello. Guys, silverbacks, right? These guys will tell you, I don't have time. That's excuse time, right? Yes, excuses. You have to make time. You have to make time. These guys are making time to work out all the time. Stay healthy, stay fit. Henry's one of them up there in the cave. Helen, she's one of them. I don't know if you're following Pastor Nelly on Facebook at the moment. He's making time, right? He's making time, right? The thing about this, the Silverbacks outreach here that's happening is the important factor is they've got time. They've got time. They're trying to encourage you to make time, to look after yourself, right? We got time. We all have time. This is a matter of efficiency, right, Raywin? Right on. Right on, sister. Okay, let's have a look at what Scripture says here. This is how our time should play out when it's done right. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Another translation of that will say, seek first the kingdom of God, right? Seek first. This is how we manage our time successfully. Everything else funnels down from this. I'll give you this challenge. Start your day in Scripture, right? Seek first the kingdom, right? Seek first the kingdom. That's the start. Seek first, then everything from that. It's really amazing how many of you feel different in your day when you start it in Scripture. So be it. Amen. Guys, there's something that happens. Something that happens. Even if I get to the same Scripture at midday, it's different. It's different. Start your day in Scripture. If that means that you got to wake up 15 minutes earlier, then do so. Make time. If we can't make time for God, who can we make time for? Just think about that for a second. Think of who God is, right? If we can't make time for him. I was having a conversation yesterday. I found it quite funny, right? That if we're talking about prayer life and, talking about the struggles of prayer life. I don't make time. I don't have time for prayer. I just don't get there. I don't get there. Let's go back to the work scenario again. If you had an open door to the CEO of your office or business or company, and he would take counsel from you, how many times a day would you walk into that office? How many times in the day would you walk into that office and say, hey, I got a good idea for your business? Or do you know what I mean? Like if you had an open door to the Prime Minister's office in this country. Think of the most influential person in your life that could make decisions in your life, and you had an open door and they took counsel from you. How many times a day would you walk in that office, into the presence of that person and talk to them? I bet you wouldn't leave, man. This isn't about would you go in. This is a case of you would never leave, man. You would set up shop in that office. In fact, you would set up shop in that office so much that you would start to feel like you would be partly in charge, right? You would feel like you would have some type of ownership, inheritance. God promises you this. You have an open door to God Almighty himself. You can't be half in or half out here. I mean, if you believe in Christ, God created everything. He's amazing. You have an open door to him. Make time for him. Start your day. Wake up 15 minutes earlier. It's not that hard. Seriously, Silverbacks wasn't that hard after about 3 weeks. And I got huge. Right? No, it's about making time. Okay, let's have a look at this quote. I love this. Who's watched the movie War Room? I love it. The little black lady, like she's like the Yoda of like, she's got like she drops nuggets of wisdom like every 2 seconds. It's so good. And I find myself keep pausing the movie because I want to keep writing down the little nuggets of wisdom. This is a nugget of wisdom right here, straight from her, right? To win the fight, you've got to have the right strategy and the right resources because victories don't come by accident. Let's get praying, guys. Let's make time for God. Let's get in the Word in the morning, right? Come back in a couple of weeks' time and tell me your life hasn't changed. I challenge you with your prayer life. You think God's not answering? You think God doesn't hear you in your prayers? Spend some time on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon or a Monday morning. Write down what you're praying for. Do it the next week. Start crossing off what's getting answered. You'll soon find out that God hears your prayers, honors your prayers, and then you'll start to notice a trend that he's walking before you. Before you start praying for it, he's already answering prayers. Your daddy is good, man, and he loves you. He hears your prayers, right? You need a strategy. You need the right strategy. Prayer, the word, this is the right strategy, right? To be intimate, relationships require mutual outpouring of time, love, and commitment. Let's jump in. Scenario number three. I know it still says scenario number one, but don't worry about that. It's all one body. Okay. We dig down deep with God when we make time. So scenario number three is, I want what she's having. You'll show your age if this resonates with you when I say that. If that doesn't resonate with you, too late. Okay, we go on to this. Sometimes I feel like this in Australia. My wife is South African. I go to South Africa. Some of you might be from other nations as well, where you see real poverty, real struggle. But we look like this guy here in Australia. The grass is always green on the other side. I want what she's having. He's too busy trying to get through the fence to notice that he's in a paddock of the same stuff. Right? Man, let's not be silly like this. This is silly. We're so blessed here. We have everything here. We live in Brisbane, man. It's like 100 degrees every day. It's so good. It gets so hot that we have the world's best beaches within an hour's drive north and south, right? If you live in Sydney, it takes you an hour to get to your local corner store, man. Like, right? If you live in Melbourne, there is no decent coffee store. I mean, corner store. Oh, yes. I found out everyone's awake. Right. Whew. Hope I didn't get too many people offside there now, eh? But let's not be the sheep. We are so blessed. We don't need to waste time. That's the enemy, man, just trying to distract you from the real purposes in your life, to try and get you measuring up to your sister or brother. Let's rejoice in the... You know, Helen come and shared with us last week about... a new job, new blessings, answered prayer. Rejoice with her. She's our sister. Her blessing is our blessing. That's amazing. It's not the only story in this house like this. It's amazing. We don't need to compete against each other. That's the devil trying to take you away from the real purpose. Loving your neighbor. Love God first, love your neighbor second. If it's outside of that framework, it's the devil, man. We celebrate. We don't need to get caught up in this stuff. You are blessed where you sit right now. Right now. Let's check this out. This is commandment number 10, right? You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Now, you might be sitting there now going, Mark, but I don't have an ox or donkey, bro. My neighbor doesn't have an ox or donkey, bro. It's 2018, brother. No servants, bro. Okay, let's 2018 this, right? You must not be... Don't be jealous of your neighbor's house, right? Don't check out his missus. Don't be jealous of his missus. Don't be jealous of the people that he works with or that works for him or her. Or their work, right? Or their business, or anything else that belongs to them. Celebrate with them, right? Celebrate with them. Celebrate them with in everything. And when you'll find when you're celebrating with them, you're living out how God intended us to live, which is love your neighbor, right? Love God first, love your neighbor, right? Celebrate with them all the time. There's no need to get jealous. So here we go. We dig down deep with God when we're grateful. Spend some time being grateful this week, guys. Every single one of us here, I know we're going to have a nice Christmas. Let's reach out. Make sure someone else is having a nice Christmas. Right? Come on. Blessed to be a blessing. Right on. Let's go to our next scenario. Still on scenario number one, but scenario number four. You know how Nelly's got his, when he's like doing your accent for someone, like you go, oh, but Pastor Nelly. You know that one? Here's my one. I just want to chill with my family and friends. Oh, you know, cuz, I just want to chill with my friends and fam. Were you sweet with that, eh, bro? All right, bro. Sweet, bro. Because this looks good, hey. And this is good. This is real good. Being part of the body. Right? But we're called to be more than this. Outside of these walls. Into our communities. Be the light on the hill where there's no light. We got lights in here. We're blessed. Let's go and be a light somewhere else. Right? I've done this too. You know, 5-minute mingle. I sit there, 5-minute mingle. I've got something to do. I'm sure I'm busy. It's hard. I'm introverted. I find it hard to speak with new people. Right? But I'm called by my daddy to reach out. So who do I obey? Do I obey myself, the little voice in my head that says, oh, come on, you're tired, you got something else to do? Or do I obey my daddy? Where's my allegiances? And I have to choose God. Reach out. There's that 80s song, reach out and touch someone. Here we go. Let's go back into God's word, shall we? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Can you imagine? You know, the disciples walked with Jesus. They seen everything. And then they went back fishing. Didn't it? Isn't that what happened? And then Jesus told them to cast the net on the other side. Right? So I get it. We get shaken. I get shaken. I get it. But God's called us. Where's our allegiances? Are we listening to the voice in our head, or are we listening to God, our daddy, our good daddy? He's told us to reach out. Just think about this. If in the early church, the persecutions, the terrible deaths, if they didn't go and reach out, we probably wouldn't be in this building right now. Right? God's amazingness. God's amazingness. He's anointed each and every one of us to go and reach out, be the light in our community. Right? And it comes down to this, though, really. The reach out comes down to this. Anyone watch Stranger Things? Netflix? Good show? Pretty cool? Yeah. David Lim up the back. Yep. We talk about this in youth with our youth. Bringing Jesus out of the awkward zone. We got to bring Jesus out of the awkward zone. Because if we're afraid to reach out, it's because for us, Jesus lives in the awkward zone. And society as a whole has encouraged us not to share our faith or our whatevers, you know? But we're called to be a light. We're called to be a light. So how do we bring... You just remember this. You bring the gospel. It's the most amazing message that's ever been told. Ever. Ever. The gospel is the most amazing message. God himself wrapped himself in man flesh, went and hung on a cross, died a painful, wicked death, and then resurrected 3 days later to prove his divinity, but did the act on the cross, that dying, to restore your relationship, to forgive that sin, the original sin that we carried the whole time. Thanks to our forefather Adam, we carried it. Whether we had a choice in it or not, we carried it. It was finished on the cross. Tetelestai, finished. And you bring that message. God himself made everything, died for you, just for you, and just for you, and just for you, and just for you, and every single person, just for you. That's an amazing message. Right? And it's great that you are here in Every Nation Brisbane. We place a lot of focus on equipping you to be able to share your faith, to bring Jesus out of the awkward zone. if you haven't had a look at the Purple Book or gone through Foundations class or our Making Disciples class or joined a life group, guys, dig in, dig down deep. It's here. It's here. We live to serve you, to equip you, to be able to go out and be a light so you can share the most amazing message that's ever been shared. We'll bring Jesus out of the awkward zone together because there's nothing awkward about somebody loving you so much. In fact, God himself loving you so much that he sacrificed himself for you. There's nothing awkward about that at all. In fact, if one of your friends died for you, jumped in front of a bullet from you, you wouldn't stop telling anyone about it. You'd probably make your life about it. I'm going to live to bring honor to this person. Go back to that little, even just turn it down a level, Mark. Okay, I will. Go back to the Netflix little thing, the little thing, you know, it's Stranger Things and it was a play on words, right? If you saw a good show on Netflix, you wouldn't be awkward to tell me about it. Let's get Jesus in your life to that point where you're not awkward. You can share the amazing blessings of your life, your relationship with God, the same way you can share your favorite show on Netflix and recommend it to someone else, right? Lean on the Holy Spirit. We don't have to do this all ourselves. We don't have to do this all ourselves. That's the best part. So easy. Lean on God. Just lean on God. That takes faith. We dig down deep with God when we reach out. When we reach out. When we go to all corners of the earth. Your all corners of the earth might be your next door neighbor. Go to all corners. Here's our last scenario here. We're going to wrap this up. Honestly, I'm just not sure that I believe. I've been there. I get it. This intersection starts to look pretty real. Corner of Dead End and Hope Road. Yeah, I've been there. I've been there. I bought some property on the corner. I want to encourage you with this. If that's you, you're like, oh, nah, don't see God. If he showed up in front of me, might do something about that. Yeah, we're called to have faith. Why don't you just ask the person next to you? There's a hundred little miracles in here. Ask my brother Curtis about his life. I ask him about his journey that he's been on this year. You want to hear a miracle? Hear that? Well, the sucklings over there, our volunteers of the month. Go and have a chat with my brother Andy over there. You hear a miracle there? Go have come and have a chat with me. If you haven't heard my full testimony, I'll come and share. I'll talk your ear off with it. God's glory, not mine. Every one of us. Just ask someone. Because, you know, if they told you, this is the best show on Netflix, man. This is the best restaurant I've ever eaten at. This is the best accountant. This is the best whatever. You'd probably take their advice, right? Right. Oh, but maybe you're thinking this guy. Oh, they're all crazy. Let me tell you something. If that's you right now, you're in a room of 100 crazy people. You got big problems, man. Phew. This is scriptural promise right here. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you'll find me. Okay, so it's not about turning up to church on a Sunday and going, nah, it's not for me. Didn't find God there. Or putting your left, it's not the hokey pokey, left arm in, left arm out. Right? That's not the promise. So why are you expecting something from something that you're not walking to that promise? It says all in. It says wholeheartedly. Right? I can guarantee you this, though. You go after God wholeheartedly, he's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you hanging. He's not going to not show up. He's going to show up in a big way, and your life is going to change massively. Massively. Right? But here's another. There might be not you at the moment. Maybe this is you. Maybe you've been a Christian. You've had that experience. You're at your wit's end. I'm thirsty. I feel like I haven't drank of the living water for so long. I've just given up. God can't get me through this. I got to do something myself. Maybe if that's you, trust me, God's got you. Another biblical promise. He'll never send you temptation that you can't handle. Right? He's got you. Lean in. lean into God. Leaning away is not going to help. I promise you this. Leaning away doesn't help. Lean into God. Go after him in his word. Start chewing on his word. Start chewing on his promises. What he says is his promises. Believe them. Hear them. Walk with them. Pray. Get into God. Dig down deep with God. Dig down deep with God. And you know what? When we dig down deep with God, we dig down deep with God when we have faith. Sometimes it takes a lot of faith. But he's a good, good daddy. He's a good daddy. And he's got you. I'll leave you with this, guys. C.S. Lewis. I love that guy. It's like Quote City, right? It's like the little British Quote City guy. But this quote is so amazing. Christianity, if false, is of no importance. And if true, it's of infinite importance. The only thing it can't be is moderately important. So is your response, are you in or you out? God's got you all the time. Trust me, God's got you. God has you. Lean in today, guys. Brothers and sisters, lean in. Sometimes it's hard to lean in, but lean in. He's got you. He loves you. He leaves the 99 to go after the one, okay?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.